This is Biff Babbitt from Saxon. You listen to Sonic's Perspectives. Yeah.
Welcome everyone, this is Rodrigo Alta for Sonic Perspectives, and metalheads rejoice because on the phone with me is one of the most iconic figures of the new wave of British heavy metal, the one and only Biff Byford from Saxon. Biff, how are you today, man?
I'm pretty good, actually. Pretty cool. Yeah, everything's good. Feeling good, everything's great.
Yeah, great to have you on the phone, and I think you're in between tour dates at the moment, right?
Yeah, we're just chilling a bit before we start in UK and Europe on the part three of the Thunderbolt tour.
Yeah.
So yeah, we, you know, yeah.
I was wondering, what's the routine like when the band's not on tour? What keeps you busy when you're not on the road or recording an album?
Well, we're not busy. We're just relaxing. I just come back from Los Angeles on holiday. I'm just writing songs, actually, fiddling around with lyrics for my solo album. So I'm working, but not too fast, if you know what I mean.
Okay. When you're at home, can you, like, walk on the streets normally without being bothered for autographs and selfies, or...?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the countryside here.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty quiet where I live.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned, you're touring, of course, to promote Thunderbolt, which for me is one of the strongest albums in your lengthy career. Do you also feel that way about this album?
It's a very strong album, definitely, and it's obviously getting stronger as time goes on, because... more people get it. So, yeah, it's a great album. It's doing really well. And, I think it ticks all the boxes for all our fans, really.
And I understand there's a new edition of Thunderbolt being prepared, which will feature a few live tracks, right?
Yeah, this is primarily for the tour. Mm-hmm. We're doing a special edition for the tour just to, give something special to the fans. So we'll be touring America again in February, I think, so... You know, it's a good promotional thing for the fans, I think, to buy.
Yeah. And on Thunderbolt, you address Greek mythology, vampires and predators. There's a homage to Lemmy of Motorhead, a shout-out to Rodis, and even a special appearance by Johan Hegg of Amon Amarth. And I find it incredibly diverse. Did it take you guys too long to write and record it?
It didn't take really long to record it. It took quite a long time to write it. It takes a while to come up with these ideas that are... special, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I like to spend time trying different things and different ideas. So we spend quite a bit of time writing. We didn't record in one session. We recorded it over quite a few sessions. So we were recording and writing at the same time, basically.
Mm-hmm. And 22 albums in, how do you still manage to keep it fresh sounding? Were there moments where you thought, you know, you had nothing else to write about, or a sort of a creative draft, so to speak?
No, there's always something to write about in the world, mate.
I bet there is.
Just have to be have an imagination and go with it, yeah.
Yeah. And this time you have Andy Sneap once again as producer, and you guys seem to enjoy working with him, right? It's the third album in a row where you tap him in for production duties.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he knows what to do, and he's great to work with. You know, he's a metal fan as well. He loves the 80s bands, so it works really well with Andy.
Yeah, I think he's certainly captured the essence of Saxon quite well, if you allow me. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He's captured the old Saxon and the new Saxon both together, I think.
Yeah. And how would you compare writing and recording an album today versus your first album back in 1979?
Well, the same, really. It's the same techniques we use, the same guitars, the same amplifiers, you know. It's just the recording techniques have changed a little bit. Obviously, back in 1979, we only had, 20,000 pounds to spend. So, it was a very quick album, 3 weeks, I think. So, yeah, it's basically the same technique, though, people still play guitars, I still sing down a microphone, you know. I mean, Nigel still plays real drums, so it's pretty much similar, really, just the recording technology and the software has improved a lot.
Mm-hmm. And 2019 marks the 40th anniversary of your first album. Are you planning anything particular to celebrate the occasion?
We're going to do some special shows in 2019, yeah. We will be doing some special shows. We'd like to do maybe two in England, two or three in Europe, maybe one in America, I don't know, maybe one in South America. We're talking to people now about putting something together, yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear, man. And at this stage in your career, you've faced all kinds of adversities, lineup changes, a fight for the band's name, different trends like glam and grunge coming and going. What would you say was the hardest thing to overcome?
Hardest thing to overcome?
Yeah.
I think in the 90s, it was hard. It was a lot of apathy around, you know, people couldn't be bothered. Mm-hmm. The new bands on the planet taking all the limelight. So I think it was a hard period, the 90s, for the sort of classic British metal acts, you know, like Motörhead, Judas Priest, Saxon, Maiden.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great time, but we came through it. It was good, you know. We all learned lessons, and we streamlined the outfit and moved on, you know.
Yeah, you certainly came back from the ashes more than once, I would say. But have you ever have you ever reached a point where you thought, screw it, you know, I'm out of this, I'm gonna work in an office or breaking rock somewhere? Or
no
all right,
well, breaking rocks, I'd have to be in prison, wouldn't I?
Yeah,
no, I haven't really thought about doing that. No.
Okay. There's a string of albums in the 80s that the fans met with a dose of concern at the time. But since then, I think most of us have made peace with the fact that, well, they're not as heavy as they could have sounded, right? I'm talking about Innocence Is No Excuse, for example.
Yeah, some of the albums were a little bit softer edges, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose basically record companies, management, bands were just trying to move with the times a little bit. You know, but yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have a long career.
Yeah.
You have ups and downs, you know.
Yeah. And my first Saxon album was actually Rock the Nations, where you work with Elton John. What was that like?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good album as well.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
But what was it like working with Elton?
I didn't really see him very much, actually. He was a friend of our producers. Mm. And you know, we asked him to play on Party 2, You Puke.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I saw him record the track, but I didn't really get to see him that much, really. It was a bit of a laugh, you know. We wanted him to record on a really sort of, outrageous rock and roll song, Party 2, You Puke. So, yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, he played on Northern Lady as well, which is a great track.
He did, yeah. We sampled him, actually, on one of the first samplers that were being used at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We sampled him on one of the first stereo samplers ever to be used. So, yeah, it was a bit of an historic recording, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, he was really good about it. We played it to him and said, we sampled you, Elton. And he was like, oh, cool, sounds great.
Yeah. Have you ever thought
Maybe he didn't know what we meant by sampling, but I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Have you ever thought of returning the favor and singing one of his albums?
No.
That would have sounded cool, I guess. You know, fresh thing for both of you guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you consider, I mean, you just mentioned you're preparing a solo album. Can you tell us a bit about that? What can you reveal so far?
Well, I'm writing a few songs for different people. You know, it's going to be a mixed, it's going to be quite a diverse album, a bit like the last Saxon one, I suppose, but probably a bit more rock and roll.
Mm.
You know, a bit more sort of mid-tempo, not so much full. I don't know, really. It's coming together quite well. I'm writing with different people.
Mm.
So, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, man. It's a new thing for you, I guess, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new thing, you know, a bit out there on my own. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be either, people will either like it or not. We just have to see, won't we?
Yeah. And I have to ask you this, because you guys seem to have toured with every metal act on the planet, but I guess the oddest pairing was Saxon and Rush. When did that occur, and was it a good experience for both bands?
With who?
Rush. Rush, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was our first tour of America with Rush. It was great. I mean, they were great, great guys. You know, they liked the band. Mm. They were into all this new wave of British heavy metal thing, Saxon Maiden. So, yeah, they were great. They were great. It was a long tour. And, yeah, we got on great together. Still meet people in America that were on that, that went to that tour, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would have been iconic for sure. But is there any musician that you haven't met so far that you would have liked to meet? And who would you be starstruck by if you've met?
I haven't met... there's a few people I haven't met, actually. Mm. I've not met... I've met a lot of people, but I've never met... who haven't I met? I've not met... I don't know who I haven't met. I've met most everybody. I never met Dave Lee Roth. I've never met Bruce Springsteen. Oh. I've never met... I've never met Paul McCartney. So there's a few people I haven't met, but a lot of people I've met, especially in the metal genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, David Lee Roth would be quite a contrast to your personality, I would say.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, I think that metal has had quite a resurgence these days. If you look at the bills of the Monsters of Rock in the 80s, for example, most of those bands are still touring and headlining festivals around the world. To what do you credit his this renewed interest in metal?
Well, I just think there's been some great albums over the last 5-6 years, definitely. And I think bands like Saxon, Maiden, Priest, and Motörhead, up to when Lemmy died, you know, we were releasing quite good records, you know, mm-hmm. especially Saxon. And I think people are interested in the 80s thing again, you know, so it brings back a lot of older fans and a lot of younger fans get into it. And the music's still relevant. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I think for a metal fan, the Thunderbolt album is very relevant. So, you know, I think that's what keeps the interest alive, really.
Yeah. And when you first started, I think there was a sense of camaraderie between all the new wave of British heavy metal bands, but would you say there was rivalry involved as well?
Well, I think there's always rivalry, competition, especially when... You know, you're touring or on a festival with other bands, especially back then when we were younger. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that young rivalry, you know. So, yeah, I think that was a good thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it pushed you guys to improve, I guess.
I think it pushes everybody to improve because people have a choice. Mm-hmm. They can see different bands, you know.
Yeah.
So you're trying to capture the same audience as everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't remember a time since the 80s when Priest, Maiden, and Saxon were this popular at the same time. What would it take for those three bands to tour together today?
Well, it wouldn't take much for us to be on the bill, because I won't say yes straight away. But I don't know about the other two guys. I don't you have to ask them that question.
Yeah. I mean, you just toured with Priest in the U.S., I think, recently, right?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Between you, Bruce Dickinson, and Rob Halford, I think you seem to have maintained your voice almost intact in comparison. What's your secret?
There is no secret, really. Just be dedicated. You know, I'm pretty driven, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I look after my voice when we're touring. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm lucky. We'll see how long it lasts. Take it day by day.
Yeah. Is it important to keep in shape for your voice to remain strong or not?
There's nothing much you can do with your voice. I mean, I try to stay fit, mm-hmm. You know, exercising and things, but there's not much you can do with your voice. Not abuse it, you know. Obviously, don't smoke as much as if you want to, you know, if you smoke, don't smoke massively. You know, try and cut down. And, you know, just things like that, really.
Yeah.
Get some rest when you're touring.
Mm-hmm. What's your pre-show routine like? To heat up your voice and heat up your body for the show?
I don't have one.
Really?
No.
Oh, that's surprising.
No, just go on, I'm saying.
As metal as possible. And
yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. And I was always curious to find out, what do the kids in your family think of your job? Are they aware of how famous or how important you are?
I think maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, the family is different. The family is not connected with too much with the hard work touring of the band. They just see the shows, you know, and things like that. But yeah, they're pretty supportive, and they know our big Saxonar, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you have a few dates in Europe this year, like you said. North American dates will soon be announced. You have your solo album that's being recorded right now, and some special shows maybe in 2019 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of your first album. What are the plans after that?
We don't have any after that. Well, actually, we do. Actually, we're doing a new album.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be recording a new album sometime in 2019, definitely.
Okay, so you're using the same process right now. You're writing and recording like in parallel with no firm commitment or anything like that, right?
Yeah, we don't have to have too much commitment to timings. We're an established band. We can pretty much do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we feel like writing, then we write.
Yeah.
If we don't feel like writing, then we don't write.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
The one time I saw Saxon live was on the Muscles of Rock tour in São Paulo in 1998 with Manowar, Slayer, Megadeth, Dream Theater.
Right, that one. Yeah. I remember that. We flew in to Brazil and played for 40 minutes and then flew home.
Yeah, so it was only 40 minutes.
One. I liked it, yeah.
Yeah. So I hope to catch you guys on the next leg of the tour, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking at some, sort of American, sort of South American shows. Mm-hmm. We're looking at into it now. So it should be good.
Yeah. Is there anything you can reveal in terms of support bands or anything special you're planning for that tour? I mean, would that be the same set list?
No, it's wide open at the moment.
Okay. Are you changing the production and set list a little bit from the previous legs?
Well, for these shows or for the 2019?
Mm-hmm.
For these shows we're doing now.
Mm-hmm. For these shows you're doing now?
Yeah, we're going to change it a little bit from last time, yeah. Not too much, but a little bit, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, man. So,
yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, at this time, I should thank you for your time, Biff, and I really enjoy your talk. All the best with the second leg of the tour, and take care, man.
Okay, cool. See you later.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, folks, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Biff Byford from Saxon. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast in order to get notified instantly of all our interviews as well as our Talking Perspectives podcast. Make sure you like us on Facebook and Twitter and check us out on www.sonicperspectives.com. We will leave you with the song Nosferatu from Saxon's latest album, Thunderbolt. Take care and rock on.
Just walking home.